Fierce Femme Media.
I didn't know that people actually listened all the way through. I think they skip sometimes.
Well, we've gotten really long lately.
I've been on my commute back and forth to work, and so like it may take me a couple days to get through an episode, but I usually listen to the whole thing.
It feels like it takes us a few days to get through an episode sometimes, too.
It does.
Well, it actually depends on how much Aaron has drank that night.
Right.
Yeah. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
And I'm Lexi, the guest spot.
Oh, okay. Lexi has agreed to join us this evening. She was actually the listener that reached out to us when we had the discussion about trans inclusion in the lesbian community. And we're excited to get her input and to continue talking about the subject because... I don't think it's something that everybody knows enough about. And I think a lot of people make assumptions and misconceptions. And the only way to correct yourself and to learn more is to ask and find out. So before we get into all that, we'll do what we're drinking. Stace, you're going to be real disappointed in me. I'm drinking beer again. The reason being, okay. I got that case of Apothic from the woman who works for me. Like, I got that whole case. So that's, like, all of the wine I have right now. And I drank Apothic last night. So I was like, eh. And Lex had gone to Trader Joe's today and picked out, like, six different kinds of beer. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try. At least this one I haven't drank on here before. But it's another one of the Pizza Port ones that's made down in Coronado. And it's just all of their beers have been really, really good. I would tell you what the name is, but... I think it's Swami. Yes, Swami's IPA. The font is terrible. But it's another one that's just really, really good. It's 6.8% alcohol. And Lex is a total sucker for marketing. Like,
aren't we all?
Yeah. Like the rest of us.
Yeah, like the rest of us. So she picks out... My wife does not drink. So she picks everything based on, ooh, cute, ooh, pretty. Like, if you told her I prefer a, like... pale ale or like a Heffenweizen, she'd be like, I don't know, like, is it gonna be in a pink can or a green can or like what? That's the extent of it. So, but it is real good. Everyone should try this Pizza Port. I haven't seen it sold anywhere else except Trader Joe's.
We should check that one in Linden. What's it called? Orlando, that have like all the beers.
I bet you they have it there. Yeah, but I haven't seen it just like regular grocery stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm drinking Unruly Cab. I picked it out because I really like the Unruly Red. So I wanted to try this, and it's just as good. It's not too sweet. It's very, like, dry, and it's awesome. I dig it.
Oh. I don't have wine. I'm sorry. I'm still taking care of Piper. Piper's still a mess.
Biggest disappointment on this podcast.
Listen, my new career as a veterinary nurse, I cannot... inebriated, but I'm trying another one of the Bud Light seltzers because I had them, so I figured I'd try another flavor, and it's mango, and I don't know if it's because I was, like, looking at the can before I started drinking it and really reading where it said Bud Light. I feel like it tastes like Bud Light a little.
What was the other flavor you drank last week?
Huh?
What was the flavor you drank last week?
Black cherry.
And that one was good,
so
right?
Good. Yeah.
Maybe it's just the mango. Maybe it's not any good.
I mean, it's still good. It's actually good. I think it was just that first sip. I was like, is this Bud Light? But like, no, it's just got like the tiniest hint of flavor, but it doesn't have all of that like fake like sweetener flavor. Like White Claw, I think, is the absolute worst at it. But like, you know how all those seltzers, yeah, like it tastes really chemically? This doesn't.
I'm sure I owe someone like $200 at some point that I swore Stacey would never drink a Bud Light ever. And I don't know who I made the bet with, but I'm pretty sure I owe someone money.
You owe money? Hey, I never thought I'd see the day either.
Lexi, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Sour Blonde Ale by Deep Ellum Brewing Company.
Oh, that's impressed.
Cute can.
I like sour. I was going to get True Love, which is an even prettier can, and it's even more sour, but I couldn't find it this week. So anyway, but it's pretty good. It's a little bit sour, not overpowering, but it's pretty refreshing. It's crisp.
Oh. Sour. Interesting.
I like it.
I don't like the sour ones.
I've never tried it.
You've never had a sour?
No, but I like sour gummy worms, so I feel like I could try that, and I would like it.
This would be a good one to start with, because it's not, like, super sour. Like, True Love, that is, like, ultimate sour.
I feel like sours are so popular right now at all the, like, bougie beer places.
I feel like alcohol is popular right now, just in general. Like, they are not experiencing a downturn or economic crisis. Like, that is a economy-proof, recession-proof business right there.
No, I feel like what did people stock up on at the beginning of this? Like, toilet paper, hand sanitizer, alcohol.
And now the kids are going to be at home, more alcohol. Yeah, like, for sure. Jean discovered, like, delivery. Oh, my God, when she cracks me up. Did you guys know you could get wine? It's like, yes, Jean, everybody can get wine delivered.
Groupon. There's like a great deal on Groupon right now.
But I think this is great. Have you seen, I saw on TikTok, man, I'm gonna miss you, TikTok, that all these teenagers, because you have to wear a mask now, they're like dressing up as senior citizens to buy alcohol.
Yeah, I did see that.
So funny. Like, good for you. If you can be that creative and, like, pull it off, you deserve it, my friend.
Listen, Generation Z is going to just blow the rest of us out of the water.
For real.
They're going to save us all. I think it is very, well, we're not going to talk about Trump and TikTok because it's going to be painful for me to just, but what, of all the things to worry about.
Don't take away my one fun app that I, like, waste my day with. Please, come on.
Well,
pick something else.
Kicking and screaming, that will be taken away from us.
I'm gonna nerd out on this for 2 minutes, but I read, like, all of the actual Oppo, like, paperwork on it saying, yes, there's potentially spyware. Is it any more than what Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of those things have already? It's the same kind of stuff. And there's so much more to worry about in China. If you want to get involved in, like, some of the startling issues in Chinese politics, what we could talk about the Uyghurs, like, they're being completely annihilated out there. Like, this is the least problematic part of China right now. And it's just because the TikTok kids pissed off Trump. This is just what he's honing in on.
Yep.
And it's just mind-boggling. Like, he is the worst of us all. We elected our very worst human.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, agreed.
But TikTok is, like, my one little, like,
I know.
I love seeing how creative people are. I love seeing the next generation being creative. I love how people have spent their time, like, during quarantine. Everything about it is just so refreshing. And
agreed.
The
Damn
pet
it.
Diaries.
Yeah. And it's just not as negative as, you know, there's so much shitty stuff going on in the world. TikTok doesn't have all of that, like, horrible news and sad this and what. It's just nice. Like, I want to watch, like, people do little dances, and I want to hear, like, dogs' thoughts, and, you know, like, I like it.
You guys are like my TikTok filter. I only watch TikTok if you guys send it to me, so I don't have to be bothered by scrolling through. It's just too many. I have too many social media things. I don't have the patience for it.
I know. But it's like the algorithm of, like, the videos that you like puts you on sides of TikTok. I'm explaining this for Jax because I know she doesn't know. But, like, I feel like I've finally got to, like, the TikTok that I'm supposed to be in. It's like,
yes.
I'm straight, but I'm on gay TikTok for sure. Yes. And I love that. And I'm on creative TikTok too. And so I'm like, this is where I'm supposed to be, and I finally got my algorithm. I don't see, like, any bullshit, you know, like, Trump stuff. It's all just happy.
You finally reached level 10 of TikTok.
That's what I feel like, too. Like, my TikTok has come into its own. I am on, like, gay man theater TikTok.
Where you are a gay man.
The dance challenges are, like, newsies, and I just fit in so well. Like, I love it so much.
Stacey's like a 60-year-old gay man.
Like, all my sensibilities are. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you had to pick one, but
yeah,
That's a pretty good one.
Right? I know.
Yeah. Oh, so, Lexi, why don't you start by just sharing with us what you're comfortable sharing with us, and then we can start having a conversation.
Okay. Well, I am a trans woman, and I'm post-op, and I've been transitioned for about, oh God, it's been 3.5 years now. So, like, I'll put this out there. Everybody gets curious when you're trans, you know, they want to know, you know, what you've had done and all this stuff, which is, like, not stuff you should ask. Like, as a general rule, just don't ask anybody about their genitals, just as a general policy. But me, I am an exception. I am an open book, so you can ask me anything you want to. I will answer it. I don't care. I will share. I might even overshare. I will warn you. But
you'll fit in just fine with us.
Mm-hmm. So like when I came out, I was like, okay, it wasn't so much, you know, like other lesbians where I'm like, oh, I like girls. It's like, I always knew I liked girls. It's just, I didn't always realize, I guess, that I was one. Like all the signs had been there from the beginning, but the way I was raised and all that stuff, I wasn't, you know, encouraged to explore my true self or whatnot. But I feel like I'm rambling. I might do that. I warned Jackie.
You've also
about this,
come to the right place.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm out. I'm good. I have a wonderful girlfriend who I've been with for a couple of years now. She's also trans. So my experience, like, coming into the lesbian community has been largely positive, but it's also been largely online. Like, we live in a place where there's not really a big community, and the gay people here just kind of keep to themselves. So, I mean, it's a very conservative place. I mean, annoyingly so. So, I haven't really met my best friend is a lesbian, and so I know her and her girlfriend, and then there's me and my girlfriend, and that's pretty much the only lesbians I know in person. So everybody else is just people I've met online, and everybody online has been super supportive, very welcoming. Like, I've just been so welcomed in, and it just made me feel so wonderful and so wanted and so loved. But that being said, I have had some negative experiences. The first year that I had transitioned, I was dating because I hadn't met my girlfriend yet, and you know, the dating pool is small as it is for lesbians, and particularly in this part of...
It's a puddle. It's a puddle.
Yeah, and I live in a small conservative town, too. There's not a lot of options. So I met this girl on this app, and I don't remember what app it was, but we talked. We talked all day long. And, you know, we had, like, pretty good conversation. Like, I felt we had a connection. We had a good conversation. It was just one of those things where you just kind of keep talking all day long through this message, you know, while you're doing other things. And then in the late afternoon, it came out that I was trans, and then that I was pre-op, because I was pre-op back then. And then she's like, oh, no, I can't do that. Can't do anything like that. Just, sorry. And then, boom, that was it. And I was very disappointed because I thought we had a connection. And so while, like, she absolutely has the right to say, I'm not down with that, I get that, I feel like it could have been done a little bit more tactfully, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when you guys talked about it, Jackie said that a conversation needed to happen between the two, and I 100% agree with that. I think it's important not to make assumptions, to make sure that you're both on the same page about what the expectations are, because what you think this trans woman might want to do in the bedroom, she might not actually want to do. A lot of that stuff down there is very dysphoric. So, you know, I just think that a conversation needs to happen before you jump to any conclusions. Like, if you already have, like, chemistry with somebody, right, like, if you know they're trans right away, you're like, hey, I'm not comfortable with that. You can walk away. You're not really going to hurt anybody. But if you already have a connection, that could be very hurtful. So,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, I was, it's hard to navigate, right? Because so few people know trans people. And I think that you don't always, you don't always know what to say or how to ask questions or what that conversation could be. And I think when we had that conversation before, I think we landed on having a conversation about expectations is probably good for everybody. Stacey,
like entering into a relationship like that should be having that conversation.
Well, even if you're talking about like, I mean, you've been dipping your toe in the horrific dating pool and you know, you've been interacting with these men that have different expectations if you show up on a date than what you have in your head. And especially now when we live in like a society that's, I'm so glad to see that consent is being pushed more and more. I think it's okay to have those conversations about what sexual expectations you have, or, you know, like Lexi was saying, I had never even considered, yeah, the dysmorphia that trans people probably experience with, yeah, you have no idea what they're thinking. So you should probably ask them.
Well, but, and not to be like, I mean, that person obviously was like very uncouth, you know, like how rude. They could have handled it better. But like when we first got on and you said, you're not supposed to ask somebody like, what's between their legs, like, of course, you know, that's so rude. So where, when you start dating somebody and they know you're trans, how long into the conversation before you can like have that conversation, that, you know, talk about that topic without it being like,
that's the question, right? It's like, well, and it's like for a lot of us that we're not cis passing, but a lot of girls are cis passing and they're gorgeous and you have no idea if they're trans, you know, when you start talking. So the question then becomes, at what point do you even come out as trans? Because if you do it right off the bat, you're going to scare off just about everybody. I mean, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people. But if you wait too long, then it feels like a breach of trust.
Right.
So, I mean, it's very delicate. It's such a kind of a minefield. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming it would just depend on the person and how you read them and how comfortable you think they might be with it. I don't know. It's
you almost have to have it stamped on your dating profile, which isn't fair. You know? Yeah,
that's a lot of girls try that. But then again, then, like... A lot of people just avoid them all together. It's hard. It's very hard.
Well, but it's the same thing, I think, just like you said, like, it's not something you should ever ask. Like, I don't, like, meet guys and be like, oh, okay, so, like, how big's your dick? Are you circumcised?
They would gladly answer that.
That's not something that you, like, I don't know. I just couldn't imagine, like, asking somebody a question, you know what I mean? Like, there's some, you have to get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm feeling this, you're feeling this. Now there's a certain level of trust, a certain level of compatibility where you start asking like important questions. But I couldn't imagine just being like, so, like, I don't know, like, I don't know. Well, I'm like thinking of all the guys I've been talking to recently, which is probably not like a great example, obviously.
That bar's very, yeah.
Right. But it's like with anything, right? I wouldn't be like, oh, cool, you seem nice. What's your credit score? Like, there's some stuff that's just like weird to talk about.
But if it's a deal breaker for you, if a guy with like a 3-inch is a deal breaker and you're like, no, not interested, gotta walk away, like, at what point do you have that conversation so that you're not wasting each other's time? You know, like, that's so hard.
But here's the thing. I don't think there's absolutes in anything, right? And I could be wrong, but like, I feel like there's all kinds of situations where even just like meeting somebody for the first time and being like, oh, okay, well, like, I'm not really attracted to this person. But then you get to know them more and you're like, oh, okay, now I'm attracted to this person because I've gotten to know them. So I get what you're saying. You don't want to be like, oh, here's something that somebody might consider a deal breaker right off the bat, because you don't want anyone to like decide before they've gotten a chance to know you that they don't, that that's not what they're interested in. Because sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you're interested in some stuff that you didn't know you were going to be interested in until you're in the right situation with the right person.
I also think it's probably a more common conversation amongst lesbians to, like, when you're getting to know someone, would you date a trans, have you ever dated a trans person? Would you date a trans person? Like, we have those conversations because so many people identify as bi, lesbian, pan. Like, there's so many things that I think two women having a conversation of, you would be able to discern that information before, you'd be able to get to that early in a conversation if you were trying to find out. Because honestly, trans people also, and I'm not trying to speak for you, I'm sorry, they don't owe you to come out. Like, they don't owe that to you. So right. You can have conversations of that. Like, when I talked to my wife about it before we were married, and I was like, have you ever dated a trans person? And she was like, no. I said, would you? And she was like, yeah, probably. So if I was considering transitioning or anything like that, I would have already known that from very early in our relationship. Although she is more into masculine women. So like someone who was pre-op, she wouldn't have any thoughts about it. And I don't know how other women would react. I don't know how other lesbians would react. It's so complicated. Like, it's so complicated. And lesbians, they date a lot too, based on emotion, because our dating pool is very small, like very small. So it's not uncommon to have, like, when you're dating someone, guaranteed one of your friends has slept with them. 100% one of your friends has slept with them. If you're like in the same geographical area, mm-hmm. someone's fucked someone. Like, we're all asking my sisters. It's very dirty. But I think you like, I don't know if you are also a lesbian, and you know, being in the LGBT community, the LGBTQ plus community, that's probably a conversation that you can start also, if that is a deal breaker for you. Like, those are the kinds of things, you can't always wait for people to come to that come to you with that type of information. Like, I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to date anymore. Like, it's all very, it's right. All very complicated.
Cool, let's be nice.
Hey, Erin's waiting for you. I don't know why you keep blowing her off. So what, there's been a lot of attention recently focused on JK Rowling. What are your thoughts on her? Because I have my own thoughts about her. And I'm the only one who's not a Harry Potter fan, so I am completely objective.
I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan either. My girlfriend is, though. Like, she feels about Harry Potter the way I feel about Star Wars. It's like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've seen the movies, you know, she's made me watch all the movies, you know, I've read like the first couple of books, but no, I'm not a huge fan. So for me, it's just easy enough to be like, I am never spending a penny on anything Harry Potter related ever again. But with her, it's more complicated. She's like, well, you know, she's already made her money. You know, I can still be a fan of the franchise without supporting her, because she's very sadly misinformed and very seems very angry. And it's very unfortunate. So, yeah, it was disappointing. Very disappointing. You know, we've known for a while. Trans people have known for a while because of the little subtle tweets that she's liked over the years. But this year, it's just been, like, you know, full force. Like, she's come out as TERF. And it's very disappointing. Especially since she has such a large platform.
Yeah.
It's informing a lot of people.
And a lot of young people.
Yeah.
So what kind of things do you experience that you wish people understood better? That, I mean, because J.K. Rowling, it's hard to watch your heroes fall, right? Like, I'm kind of having that feeling now with watching Ellen go down. It's hard to watch kind of the dismantling of these people that you hold to a higher standard in your head because you expect more from them. But like you said, she's misinformed. She's miseducated. So what are some of the things that we could share that would make people more educated on the subject? Because again, I think it's people don't know. It's under education of a subject that doesn't touch their lives, so they don't bother educating themselves about it.
Well, I think the number one thing that I wish I could just tell to her directly is that we are not a threat. We are on your side. We are not a threat at all. We are just trying to find our place in the world, and, you know, there's a lot of talk about bathroom issues. Can I tell you, the most terrifying part of transition for me was going into the ladies' room. Like, just learn, especially when I was pre-op. I was terrified that somebody was going to say something, because all I wanted to do was get in and get out. Like,
same.
I mean, that's
same.
What you do. Right. Right.
Trying to spend extra time in there,
right? But I was terrified. I was like, somebody is gonna look at me and all of my 6'2" glory and think this person doesn't belong in here and start making trouble, especially because I live in a very conservative part of Texas. And I thought somebody's gonna have an issue. I haven't had an issue. I mean, even here where I live, it's been very easy to transition, and I've been very well supported by just about everybody, but still is very daunting at first. And I would want people to know that we're not a threat. We're actually terrified. We're terrified of being rejected, and we're terrified of being accused of being something that we're not. And, you know, we're just people. We're just girls.
That's got to be a weird dichotomy, too, to be scared that someone is going to accuse you of being something that you're not, when that's the thing that you're literally rectifying. You know what I mean? Like, if you spend your whole life feeling like you're something that you're not, and then you finally get to the point where you can, like, become yourself and become who you're supposed to be, and then to be in fear that someone's going to, you know.
That's one of the reasons that being rejected on account of my penis hurt so much, because I hated that thing. Like, that was the bane of my existence. That was the most hated part of my body, the part that felt most wrong, that I least identified with, and that was why I was being singled out. And so that is why it's so hurtful. You know, it's hard to deal with.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
How old were you when you first knew?
Well, that's kind of a tricky one, because it's different for everybody. I had like a light bulb moment when I was 34 years old, but I dreamed about physically being a girl when I was like 6 or 7 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, and I, all my life from then to when I transitioned, I had those constant reoccurring thoughts and dreams and fantasies of one way or another physically being a girl. So, you know, I think I fought it for a really long time because of the way I was raised. I was raised by fundamentalist Christians.
Ooh.
And so, ouch. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast. it took me a long time to come to terms with who I was and finally get to that point where I was like, this is actually who I am, and what I really want to do is transition. So
I tell people pretty frequently when they, because I'm sure you've experienced this too, when you're in the community, people who think someone is, you know, gay, lesbian, straight, pick your letter, whatever, they come to you and say, I think, you know, my son, daughter, friend, whatever is this, what should I do? And I tell them constantly, listen, the hardest person that person will ever come out to is themselves. You have to let them come out to themselves before they can ever come out to you, or you're going to hurt them, because they're trying to live this version of what they think everyone wants. Now, you can give them supportive messages of acting in certain ways towards groups of people and letting them know that you'll love and support them no matter what, but you cannot out someone before they're ready to be outed, because there's denial. It's why so many people in the community, young people, are prone to substance abuse and self-harm and suicide, and like, if there's not good examples around them, I mean, still 40% of youth homelessness, they're part of the LGBTQ community. Their parents have kicked them out. Family members have rejected them. Like, and still to this day, the most at-risk group of our community is the trans community, and especially trans people of color, and especially trans women of color, because men, cis men, don't have any problem hitting trans women for whatever warped view that is. And so they are they are more at risk than Muslims in the United States, which we all know how scary it is to be a Muslim citizen. Like, I think at last count, there's already been like 67 trans women killed this year. Like, And people aren't even supposed to be out and about. Like, this is during quarantine. Right? They're still killing trans women.
It's
fucking horrific is what it is. And now you kind of see this own infighting in our own community, which I hate when the gays start fighting against the gays. It really pisses me off. But this whole kind of battle going back and forth about how trans men aren't men and trans women aren't women. And I think the thing that really pisses me off the most is it's such bullshit. One of the key factors they use is, well, trans women can't have kids. You know how many fucking cis women can't have children? Right. And why do you keep devaluing us to the point that we're just baby machines? I'm a woman. I was born a woman and I have never wanted to give birth. Are you going to come and cut off my vagina? Like, is that a thing you're going to, like, it's just the things that we reduce sex to. It is just fucking mind boggling to me. It really grinds my fucking gears. And I'm glad you haven't experienced it too much, because I have been in a number of arguments with lesbians on social media about trans women and talking shit about them, because I don't know what it takes. Number one, it's the same argument that we have been fighting against for years. What does it fucking matter to you? Why do you care? Hey. It doesn't affect right. you. Hey. What do you care for? Why are you perpetuating hate or hurt or othering of any group of people when you have experienced that yourself? Like, you can disagree and shut the fuck up. How about that? You don't want to be trans? Don't be trans. Like, cool. I hate the infighting, and it's become, I don't know, quarantine has unleashed something in people where they're getting more and more like brazen behind the keyboard to just like spew their innermost bullshit out all over everybody. And it's kind of mind boggling to me. So I'm sorry you experienced that at all. And I'll tell you what, if I ever find someone fucking doing that to you, I will jump on.
And we will unleash the...
Oh, yeah. We've done it before.
Thank you. Well, no, I'm lucky. I really am very lucky. I haven't really had issues, so I'm very lucky. And all around, not just with, you know, entering the lesbian community, but with my transition in general, I've been pretty lucky. With few exceptions, it's been a smooth ride. So I'm very privileged.
What was the most surprising positive thing in the lesbian community? It's the bread baking, right? There's a lot of bread baking and like flannels. Flannels are fun.
Flannels, yeah. It's so comfortable. Just very comfortable.
Trips to Home Depot. Yeah, we all like that. Did you get your pair of Birkenstocks in the mail, or did you have to go pick them up? I'm kidding. I don't own Birkenstocks. Lex does, though. She has like 15 pairs.
Birkenstocks are cool now, first of all.
Okay. We've already said you're a gay man.
I wear an awful lot of flannel.
I'm just saying that cyclical and both plaid and Birkenstocks, super popular right now. So
lesbians are super popular right now.
They sure are.
All of a sudden we got Ruby Rose and everyone's like, oh, you guys aren't. I mean,
wait, you're not so bad.
Yeah, I get into that. You don't all have bullets? Like, yeah. Huh. So what was the most surprising thing for you? We digress very quickly here.
The most surprising thing? I don't know. I guess just how smoothly that I integrated into all of it and how comfortable it all felt right away. I mean, it was literally like coming home. You know, there wasn't anything that was like a shock, really. It was just like, oh, well, this is where I was always supposed to be, and these are my people, and, you know, this all makes sense, so.
Yeah, we're not that complicated.
I mean, it's like cuddles and good food, and we like to travel. And speaking of me and my girlfriend, that is, who is now sitting in this chair, so I gotta be careful what I say.
Don't make her mad.
And that's like universal. Like, don't. Yeah, that's not a lesbian thing. So how was it? Did you find it easy to transition at work, or how was that for you?
Yeah. Well, I was terrified. I mean, when I first decided to transition, I was very confident that it was the right thing to do. And it was. But I was also very terrified because I didn't know how. I have two jobs. I didn't know how either one of them would react. And I was really afraid that I was going to get fired. because, I mean, it is, again, conservative land, Texas. So I was very scared. I was like, oh, you know, what's going to happen here? Am I going to end up destitute? Like, how's it going to happen? Both jobs have been very, very supportive. I mean, I haven't had any issues at either place this whole time. I mean, it's been great. So, again, that's part of the privilege, too, because I can still keep a roof over my head. You know, that's more than I can say for a lot of trans women. But no, that hasn't been an issue. The only issue really was when I came out to my family. But I knew that was going to be a shit show. And it was. So,
you knew what to expect there.
I had a very good idea. Mm-hmm. And I was mostly right. There's been one or two surprise people that are like, oh, yeah, you know, we're on your side. And then most of them have been like, we're not talking to you anymore. So...
That's disgusting. I don't understand that at all.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of been like I came out a little over 3 years ago. And ever since then, people in my family have either not talked to me or it's been very toxic. So I just kind of look at it as like ending a toxic relationship. Like,
right.
Probably wasn't healthy anyway to be in the middle of all that. So that's the way I look at it.
Well, and sometimes you want to look at those people and just be like, who didn't love you enough? Like, what happened to you to make you, because there is nothing in this world that my son could do where he could literally murder someone and I would still visit him in jail. Like,
right.
I would still, that would never stop going on. And so I don't understand how some people can so easily cast aside someone. My father really struggled when I came out. Really struggled. And we didn't talk for almost 6 years. And I mean, he's apologized since and we're good. But one of the things I told him when we were having our argument about it, because he couldn't wrap his head around that I wasn't this person that he raised. And I told him, I'm exactly the person you raised. Nothing about me is any different. The only thing you didn't know about me was that I sleep with women. That's it. Everything else you know about me is exactly, I'm exactly who you raised. So I could never get over that barrier for me, and it took me longer to forgive him than when he apologized, because you rely on those people to give you unconditional love, and when they show you that it is conditional, it's hard. You prove that there is something you can do to make someone stop loving you, and when that comes to your parents, that's so hard to accept. And I've since made peace with it, but yeah, I couldn't imagine. I was fortunate my mother didn't react that way. It was much better with her. So I had this support system. So I can't even imagine what it would be like to have your family react that way. Because, yeah, your taught family is who will always love you. And then they don't. And it all, the whole world seems like it's made out of cards at that point. Because if that wasn't true, who does actually love you? Who could actually love you? Because that base, those tenants that stood it up, were never real. Like, it's right. Just such a huge mind fuck. And people tell you like, oh, just get over it. You don't need them. Make your own family. But when that's the foundation that your love is based on, and you equate love and behavior and how people treat you, and that's kicked out from under you, you can't, it's fucking hard. You have to retrain your brain then.
Right, because you're not, like, humans aren't raised to think that love is conditional.
Right.
You know, like, love shouldn't be. It's not, it shouldn't be conditional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just shakes everything. It's your whole life, from the foundation up.
Yeah.
Shakes everything.
Well, especially when you look at, you base relationships based on how your parents treat you. You base friendships based on how maybe you interacted with your siblings or, like, all of these things. And you don't realize that it's shaken until someone kicks it. And then it fucks everything up. Like, parents don't understand the damage that they can do. and so often as parents, you worry about, what am I doing to screw this kid up? And if most of us just remember that as long as you are continuously loving them, there's very little you can do to permanently screw them up. Right. Like, if they know no matter what they do, you'll love them. You can do a lot of wrong things because that foundation won't get shifted. It's a mind fuck. It's not good.
That's like one of my biggest worries, having kids, is the fact that we have conservative family members, you know, half of my family and a lot of my husband's family. Worry so all of them. Worry that if they come out and they reject them, that's terrible. I don't want them to feel rejected in any way, you know, especially because everybody adores my kids. They're good kids, and everybody in our family, they want to be around them. So for them to say one little thing that makes you go, I don't want anything to do with you now. This, like you said about it being conditional, you know, like that terrifies me.
That won't happen to your kids because you and Kai are super supportive. And like
we
I said,
are, but I'm talking about like distant family. There's aunts and uncles and grandparents and cousins that could very well say, see ya, we don't want anything to do with you now. We don't support that. And that sucks. And it's a worry of mine.
For sure. Mm. For sure. It's a worry, I think, of everyone's. Like, I read this this book snippet the other day. And it was it's like this parent training book. And I did not buy the book. I'm just telling you the advertisement I saw.
You read the jacket.
Yeah. And it was this mom talking to this, her daughter who's 15. And she was like, oh, I don't really want to join this club. Like, but I'm going to because my older brother was in it and he really wants me to. And I don't want to disappoint him. And she said, you do not live your life don't worry about disappointing people. Worry about disappointing yourself. Because that is who you live with at the end of the day. If your brother's disappointed, your brother will get over it. And she said, what about you, mom? And the mom said, especially me. And I was like, holy fuck, if more parents told their kids, like, do not worry about disappointing me. I love you no matter what. How freeing that would be to so many kids.
Right. Yeah. And especially when you look at the percentage of your life that's spent living with your parents. It's so small in the grand scheme of things.
It really is. My oldest daughter, she's 16, has a friend who is a boy who is gay. His parents have to know. He talks about it openly on social media. Like, they have to know, but they completely deny it.
Spot that kid from 100 yards away. He's got, like, a red flag waving above his head.
He does.
I could smell him when he walked in. I was like, oh, there's a gay.
Friends are very conservative Republican people, and they're like, no, nope. Not okay. No, that's not happening. And it's kind of hard for me to, as a parent, you respect other parents, you know, like as much as you want to be a friend to your kids, if you have a kid spending the night that's caught smoking or something, you have to respect parents. You have to tell that person if you think something's going on. So I want to respect his parents, but at the same time, I want to be like, fuck you guys so much because I don't care if this kid stays the night, you know, like, they're 16. I wouldn't let boys stay the night, but this kid is like very non-threatening. But I have to be like, I have to have a conversation with the parents. Are you going to let your son stay the night over here? There are girls staying the night. Do you know he's staying the night? Is he lying saying he's at a boy's house having like a total normal?
He's probably lying saying he's at your house.
Like, is he saying that he's having a boy sleepover when really he's over here having a girl sleepover? You know what I mean? I have to, if he wants to stay the night here, I have to have a conversation with parents. And I feel like I'm betraying him by doing that. So it's this, like, line that you have to tippy-toe about being supportive and also doing what you think is right as a parent. And it's shitty. It's terrible. Like, especially with kids being this young. I feel like once they're over 18, hey, we're the safe house, we're the sanctuary, come over, spend the night, everybody's welcome here. But having kids younger, it's a weird line to walk.
Especially when the parents suck.
Mm-hmm. Right. I want to tell him to fuck off and he can just stay here. But you can't do that. You have to respect the parents with their child.
Just call him and tell him you're keeping him. I liked it, it's mine. He's mine now. I can't believe those. I know exactly. As soon as you said, I knew exactly what you were talking about. I don't believe that those parents don't know their son is gay. Good Lord. Denial is deep over there.
Yeah. And hey, if they kick him out, he's coming here. But I can't, have him staying the night here without telling them, or at least making sure that they know and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really. Do you feel a lot of pressure to, I get this question a lot, and I can imagine you get it even more, Lexi, is to be like, well, defend Caitlyn Jenner then. And my response is, hey, there's some people in the community that are just assholes. Just like in yours. Like, yeah, I don't have any defense for Caitlyn Jenner. She sucks. But I will give her the correct pronoun when I say she sucks. I'm not going to be one of those douchebags. What's that?
Yeah, that's the important part. I mean, because like, just when in every demographic, there's going to be people that just suck. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you've got it right. Like, no matter what kind of shit she does, you still need to use the right pronouns and all that, because that's not a reward that you give somebody for behaving the way you want them to. But
right.
Yeah, but yeah. There's going to be duds. I mean, there are pro-Trump trans women. Ugh. I do not understand that one at all.
Right?
But they're out there.
I don't understand how there's pro-Trump women.
Right.
Me either, right. Yeah.
I don't understand how there's pro-Trump.
And right. Statement. Oh, you don't know why straight white males support Trump?
No.
Come on.
Yeah. True.
Come on.
I know.
I also think that when people, you know, want to talk about Caitlyn Jenner, they're also ignoring the systemic issues that surround society as a whole, which when she was Bruce Jenner, she had a tremendous amount of privilege surrounding her. And she had more money than anybody should actually have, and more access to psychiatry and doctors, and like, she didn't even have to go through the same process that most trans people have to go through to complete her transition. And it was with so much greater ease, and it was perfectly acceptable for Kris Jenner to, or Caitlyn Jenner, sorry. I mean, whatever. Caitlyn Jenner to just like lock herself up away from the public for a year and complete this transition. And I mean, no doubt, when I saw Caitlyn Jenner for the first time, I was like, holy fuck, she's hot. Like, yeah. I was not expecting that, because Bruce Jenner as a man was not attractive. Like, at all. When Caitlyn Jenner came out, I was like, that Vanity Fair cover? I was like,
I know.
Yeah, like, holy cow.
But I was here for it. I was so there for her during
Me
all
too.
Of this.
I was so and then there when for it.
I know, like, such, it was such a moment. And I was like, yes, this is amazing. Like, what an amazing step for her to just be like, this is who I am and I'm going to do it. And then it became very apparent that her financial status and the benefits she gets from being a conservative were so much more important than being an advocate or using her privilege as a means to advocate for that community. And I was like, I'm done. Nope. Mm-mm.
The best thing to come out of Caitlyn Jenner's transition was the documentary she made. And that's because of the trans people it highlighted and got right. a platform for the first time. And that was the most compelling thing about, I watched the whole thing because the women on that show I thought were incredible. Caitlyn Jenner could get hit by a fucking bus and I could not care less. Like, but I hate when they want you to defend everybody in the community.
Right. Because it's like, for literally every reason that has nothing to do with her gender.
Right.
Yeah. It's literally just because she's an asshole and privileged. But I do think you're right though. I feel like her coming out it at least brought the conversation up. And even there were aspects that I was surprised by, like her daughters still call her dad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that totally makes sense. They still use female pronouns. They still refer to her as Caitlyn, but they're like, she's my dad. And like, it just, I was, and how normal that just seems for them. And I was like, man, that's true. Like, she is your dad. She's not your mom.
Yeah.
He's just your dad. Well, I mean, I don't think any of them talk anymore, so it probably doesn't.
I think it's also, it's that whole thing, right? Like, there's not one set of rules for any one group of people. Like, what works for your family?
For them, and,
What works for your family? I did actually read an interesting article. Wasn't even an article. Ugh. So, I'm on this, like, so, when we had Lincoln, Lex added me to, like, all these, like, queer parent pages, which I fucking hate. Because it's a lot of, some of them are good, some of them are, like, we're parents. It doesn't, I mean, whatever. So, but there was this woman on there who, she's married to a trans man. But when they had their children, she was her previous self. So she married her as when she was a female and she's transitioned into a male. And one of the things that's hard for her is now she feels like she's been pushed back in the closet because he gets very upset to talk about who he previously was. And she feels like you're denying an aspect of who I am because we present as a straight couple. And like both of their children were very, both of their children were very young when he transitioned. So she feels like they're lying to them because he doesn't want her to talk about how they went through IVF and how they had them and like, he wants them to assume that he is their father, essentially biological father. As a, it's just there's so many weird dynamics for different families that they have to deal with. There's not a one size fits all for everybody, and so that's why I think it's hard when you start like trying to stereotype things and say, well, you have to act this way, you have to say this way, because that's not going to work for this group of people because they feel differently. It's all very people are complicated, man.
So many different types of situations with so many different families. It's just,
yeah.
You can't generalize anybody,
right? And that's what's hard.
It's just like whatever makes you comfortable, right? Like my cousin had. Okay, let me try. I'm gonna try and think about this because if I'm not doing it every day, it's like complicated. So she has a trans son. And he came out a couple of years ago, but when she's talking about before he came out, she'll refer to him as she and her name that she was like born with. And it's just like second nature to her. If she's talking about like, oh, when, you know, when she was younger, blah, 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 blah. But now he doesn't think like it's so second nature because.
Interesting.
Because when he was young. Like it didn't, he didn't come out or I guess maybe even have that light bulb moment until like middle school ish, I think. But it's just this like constant weaving and she doesn't even have to think about it. She's like, yeah, her third birthday, she did this, but then this year he wants to do this. And I'm like, yeah, that totally makes sense to me. And it happens to them and it works for them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
So I have a question, and I feel like we've talked about this a lot, not a lot, we've talked about this before, and we always come up with, like, I don't know what the answer is. So I've always wanted to ask a trans person and see what they think. And I feel like it's something a lot of people wonder too, but how do you feel about trans females playing on sports teams, like all-girl teams in high school, college, Olympics, like... I feel like every time we've talked about it, we're all like, I don't know how to feel about it.
Well, I think certain situations are different than others, but, like, because I don't know how it is exactly for, like, when you're, like, still in high school and whatnot, in middle school, I don't know. I know as an adult, like, okay, so I'm a marathon runner, a casual marathon runner. I've never been.
Is there such a thing? Like you can either run at 26 miles or you can't. I can't
run anywhere.
I'm right now. Driving 26 miles.
As casual as you could be, I guess. but like I know like when I transitioned, like you take like the testosterone blockers and then you go on the estrogen and you lose a bunch of muscle mass. And like I wasn't fast to begin with, but I got a lot slower. So, like, it's a lot harder for me now to to do a marathon than it was before. So, I mean, I guess it just depends on, like, are they on, like, T-blockers and stuff? Because, you know, if a trans girl is on T-blockers, then I don't really see much of an advantage other than she might be taller than some of the other girls. Maybe, yeah. Depending on the person. And I don't think that there is really an advantage. I mean, other than maybe size. I don't really see.
Right, which for some sports, too, that might not even be an advantage. That might
yeah.
be
a disadvantage. A disadvantage.
Yeah.
So for, like, high school, college, and if you're not on blockers, do you think, I mean, it's hard to, you want to be inclusive and you want to be like, I don't want to take that opportunity away from you. That's so unfair. But at the same time, do you feel like it is an advantage, and how do you kind of address that, I guess?
Tricky, yeah. If they're not on blockers, then that kind of is like an advantage that's like unfair.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. And I hate to be like the hormone police, but I mean, I think there needs to be some sort of conversation about that and how it affects
yeah.
things. It definitely affects things.
I feel like that's the conversation. That's the like consensus that we all end up at every time. I don't know. It's so unfair, but at the same time, it's like, how do you fix that? It's a shitty situation.
Right. And there's really no answer right now. Like, I know with my cousin, her son just doesn't do PE because they don't know which locker room to have him use. So he just doesn't have to do PE. Which he's like so fine with.
Any gender bathroom or something. Like,
he has one, so he just doesn't do PE. And he's like, no, that's so fine. Like, no, thank you.
I feel like there has to, like, in this day and age, there should be a solution for that at every school and every age. Maybe I'm the California person in me thinking that, what are you talking about? They have any gender bathroom.
I think part of it, too, going back to your question regarding sports, because I think when we talked about this, I think it was like a year, maybe 2 years ago, and we kind of landed on it really depends on, there's not a one-size-fits-all for this either, because everyone's at a different place, and, you know,
they
may never want to take hormone treatment. They may be gender fluid, and they don't, you know, they don't want to make any type of permanent transition or whatever the case may be, and you don't want to box someone in that way. We really, if we want to help solve these situations, like, we don't have enough on our plate going on in the world right now, but there needs to be some money invested in some research, and there has to be some studies done and some more understanding done about, because, I mean, Stacy and I work in, Stacy and I work in sports, and I can tell you, if you had a group of 9-year-olds playing basketball, you want girls on your team because they are far more coordinated than 9-year-old boys. It's not until puberty hits.
Not that much shorter.
Right. It's not really until puberty hits that the boys you finally see have an advantage. It used to crack me up when basketball coaches be like, I don't want girls on my team. I'm like, bitch, trust me. Your kids are 8.
They're not going to trip over their 2 feet just standing there. So
these girls are way more coordinated at this age. So if we really want to start having equitable conversations and really talk about what's fair, not based on societal norms or what we've been taught to think, we need to start putting money into it and really researching these issues. The same way that we need to research all kinds of things that we don't spend money on, like gun violence. Like, you really want to...
Just science in general.
We spend money on it, no one pays attention. And I don't know if the solution in the interim is, you know, to have a different division, but then it feels like you're not including that group of people with the rest of the team. I don't know. You also don't want to not include people.
But... Right.
But we don't spend any, like Stacy said, instead of dealing or talking about the issue, we say, you just don't have to do it. Well, what if your cousin really liked PE?
Right.
I would have been devastated had someone told me you can't do PE. Like, that would have shook me. That's not the case for your cousin, but I'm sure it's the case for a lot of people who fall into this category of, this is how I identify, I need you to do something for me. Like, there's, I don't know, it's so hard, but we don't have the information because we have, as a society, have spent too long ignoring it and hoping it just goes away or whatever, that we don't have a real good understanding. We still don't have a real good understanding of if there is, I mean, there is some scientific evidence based on like homosexuality, but they don't put enough money into researching that either. They take a ton of twins and do it that way, but instead of like talking to an array of gay people, because most gay people that I know, they will tell you, I could have told you the first signs of me liking the same sex as soon as kind of your sexual organs start to really form at like age 5 or 6. They could say they had their first thoughts of it by then. And it was nature, not nurture, that, or nurture, that pushed them one way or the other. So we have to do more research. The technology's fucking there. Don't tell me it's not. Just put some money into it. Like, we spend money on dumb shit in this country. Dumb studies.
Think of all the stupid things you hear about on the news. Like, how many more studies do we need to be doing to try and, like, justify eating chocolate and drinking red wine?
Yeah,
like,
we're on board. You convinced us.
Right. Right. We're going to do whatever. You don't need to convince me.
Like those ads you get, and they're like, 2 MIT grads found the perfect algorithm for wine. It's like, we could put them on something else. Like, they, right. 2 MIT grads.
We handle the wine. They handle something slightly more sciencey. Yeah.
Something more sciencey.
We've got the wine handle.
I did want to talk about one quick thing. Get your guys' opinion. Claudia Conway. Is everyone familiar?
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see where this is going to go.
So,
all right,
are
I'm
you
in.
Familiar, Lexi, with Claudia Conway?
I'm not, no.
Okay, she is the 15-year-old daughter of Kellyanne Conway and George Conway. And she's very active on Twitter and very actively anti-Trump.
Oh, and she's been trolling her mom, right?
Yeah, yes. On TikTok.
Yeah. So her mom recently had her arrested at 15 for battery or abuse or whatever. and Claudia came on Twitter and was like, I wish everyone would stop like reporting on this. Like, this is now a family matter kind of thing. But it bears the question, at what point does a 15-year-old... like, we're also teetering on that line of, you have trolled your mom for months. I don't know. I feel for her because she's 15, and holy fuck, the things that I hated about my parents at 15. Like, thank God I didn't have social media to be like, this bitch, bah, 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 bah. Because God, mom, I'm sorry. I don't feel like that now. I understand now why you did the things that you did. But how much of your like public figure do you give up, especially in this kind of climate based on age, and how much should her parents be regulating it?
That's super hard. I feel like if she's trolling her mom, I think that's a conversation of, you're being disrespectful. That's not okay in the household, regardless of the issues that she is trolling. Like, if you're a Trump supporter parent and you have a liberal kid, those are conversations that you can have, and they can post on social media and like whatever, and that's fine. But if you're being mean to your parent on social media, I think that's a disrespectful kind of thing that you need to have a conversation about respecting your mom. And we had a big conversation in my family about this, because my husband thinks that nothing political should be posted on social media, especially with the girls. They're, you know, 16 and 13, and he thinks that if you're going to post something very controversial, an employer could look at that later. Somebody in the military, if you join the military, could look at that later. Whatever. To me, I'm like, seriously, the shit that they're posting is nothing that an employer would look at sideways. And if they did, you shouldn't be employed by that person. They posted something about Black Lives Matter, and my husband was like, they need to take it down. And I was like, no, they're showing support. And he goes, for who? What are you talking about? And I'm like, their friends that are of color are reading this and knowing that they have an ally. What do you not understand? And he's like, I just don't think that our kids should be posting political things. And I'm like, Yeah, I totally disagree. And this was a huge topic for like an entire weekend in our house. It got very ugly.
And, like, that in quarantine time, that's years because everybody's right. just stuck there.
It was so frustrating because as a parent, you're supposed to be a team. You know, you're supposed to have this conversation behind closed doors. But when you actively disagree with each other with something, it's so hard. It's so hard. So as far as her being 15 and posting political stuff, I'm for it as long as it's not cussing. It's not rude. It's not like totally out there. Like, let's lynch all the whatever, you know, as long as it's normal stuff. I'm all for a 15-year-old posting political stuff. But if she's trolling her mom, I think that's a conversation they need to have at the dinner table about respect.
It's not so much trolling her mom as it is she's like, you're a hypocrite because, yeah. like, you posted this thing about suicide when you know that at this age I was suicidal. Like, it's more of she's not calling her any names. She's more of being like,
She's calling her out.
Yeah. Totally calling her out. Even said in one of her posts, like, she came back on and was like, hey, all this hate and everything you guys are sending my mom, I don't want any part of it. Do not include me in it. Like, she's still my mom. She's publicly disagreeing with her. And I don't know how much of it is because her mom doesn't spend a tremendous amount of time at home because of her job. And this is like, I don't know, because of the position her family's in with having a prolific lawyer as her dad and who is vocally anti-Trump, a Republican lawyer who's vocally anti-Trump, and her mom, who's one of the senior presidential advisors. I don't know how much of it is also a call for attention because her mom hasn't been home, and it's so hard to navigate the mind of a 15-year-old. And
but also, like, she seems pretty woke, and Kellyanne Conway is a fucking liar.
Yeah.
But even if we agree with her, if you look at it from a mother-daughter like relationship solely,
great relationship to begin with.
I think they have a shitty relationship is what it boils down to, and she needs more communication with her daughter. If you think that I'm a hypocrite on air because of this suicide thing when you tried to do it, we need to sit down and have a conversation about how I feel about it and how you feel about it. You know, like, I feel like there's really shitty communication in their household.
Yeah, but how do you even have a relationship with your mom at that point when she works for and is constantly defending Trump when you're so like vehemently opposed to him and you know, calling him out for being racist and homophobic and an idiot and spending all his time golfing and like that? She's saying she needs pro bono lawyers and she wants AOC to adopt her. Yeah. And like, man, somebody get Claudia out of there. I feel bad for her.
All right, we're gonna swing by, get Claudia, and go get Brittany. That's the road trip.
Okay. My friend that's gay, like, I feel like as soon as he leaves home, he's not going to have a relationship with his parents. And it sounds like that's what this little girl is headed towards. She's going to move out. Like, I'll find my own tribe. Thanks anyway.
Yeah.
Thanks for mac and cheese when I was 5, but I'm going to go find my own people.
Right.
I also think if I was in Kellyanne Conway's position, I mean, I would never be Kellyanne
Conway. I'm imagining that
Trump,
real quick.
But, yeah. But if I was also, I would be taking stock of, one, my daughter's really calling out for help, or my son.
Yeah.
I should probably evaluate if my job is more important than going home and giving her the attention she clearly needs. Like, that to me would take precedent over, because this is more than just teenage acting out. Like, this is, I guess it is teenage acting out, but it's being done publicly. So, I mean, I guess you're kind of fortunate as a parent to get to have an inside look at your kids' minds on social media nowadays, but I'd be really concerned about what she's going through and what the lasting effects were going to be on her life. And I'd probably, at the very least, take a leave of absence from my job and go home and figure out what the fuck was going on with my family and if I was making the best choices for my family.
Right, especially when you're going to show up and have her arrested for some, like, made-up charges. Like, that's not a great way to solve that.
Right.
Wrong. Opposite. What was that
noise?
I'm sorry, I can't figure out how to mute this.
All I heard was, you're the best baby, I love you. Aww. love you too.
Yeah, that would be a little reminder my girlfriend set.
Oh my god, that's the cutest thing ever. Stop. Oh, I am just
very single.
I'm the most single. I don't even know how.
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to find the mute button. That comes on sorry. Every
don't
night.
Don't mute it. Turn it on. Turn it up. I love it. That's adorable. I'm gonna keep drinking.
Stace, what are you obsessed with this week?
Honestly, as sappy and gross as it sounds, I'm really obsessed with my husband this week because I feel like everything that over the past almost 20 years that we've been together, holy shit, we're old.
No, you were very young when you two got together.
When I throw at him, he handles so well and so maturely, especially now that we are older. And lately with just some of like my mental health stuff, I feel like he's just handling it like a pro, and he's very patient and he's very understanding. And I caught him watching YouTube videos about some mental health stuff, trying to be more understanding. So I'm totally obsessed with Kai this week.
Sweet baby angel.
Kai learns everything on YouTube, and he's just like one of the best people ever.
He does learn everything on YouTube. Like, the sink is leaking. Hold on, let me look it up on YouTube.
It's very sweet. Stacey? Your shitty date. Are we gonna...
My shitty date last night.
I don't think he'll ever listen to this podcast.
He's not going to listen. He doesn't know about it. Okay, so I met this guy on OkCupid, and so... we've been, like, texting, and so he, like, we both like Star Wars, and he was like, oh, we should, like, watch one of the Star Wars movies. So we were watching Rogue One. That was, like, going to be the plan. So I got on, and right off the bat, he was at, like, a 10 out of 10. Like, I talk a lot, and I could not get a word in, like, at all. And he would just, like, I'd start talking, and he'd blah, 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 and just keep going, and, like, I don't need you to mansplain Star Wars to me. Like, clearly you've been having all these conversations. Like, I know Star Wars. And, like, we're watching a movie so we can, like, talk about it and get to know each other and whatever. He spent the whole time talking to the movie and just like, ah, yeah, get him. Blah, blah, blah. Like, and, like, to the point where I was like, I hate him.
Well, you said he wasn't sober, right? Like, definitely was not sober.
So as the evening progressed, it went from I can't get a word in to I don't know what he's talking about to he's totally slurring his speech to like, is he still there? And at one point, like, he was like, I have to go pee. Do you want, first of all, like, literally could not care less about being like polite, trying to impress me, anything. I got to pee. Do you want me to pause it or you want to just keep playing? And I was like, whatever, like, you want to do. He's like, all right, I'm going to pause it. So then he was gone for like several minutes. In the meantime, he sends me, like, two or three memes.
From the toilet?
I was like, are you texting me from the bathroom right now? So then he gets back on, and he, like, hadn't had his phone, and he was like, yeah, I figured if I'm going to be gone for a while, I should give you something to look at. And I was like, okay. And he goes, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I smoked a little weed, too, which, like, whatever. I don't care that you're, like, smoking weed. Like, it's legal. Do what you want. I'm not your mom or the police. But, like, I don't think that's all he was doing. Plus, I'm assuming he was drinking because it got progressively weirder and worse. He, like, he made sure to let me know he works, like, at his dad's, like, the business his dad owns. And
which
he
is not impressive.
Not at all. He wanted them to help him buy a house because, you know, they have capital. So then.
How old was he?
31.
Oh, honey.
But he talks like a 20
at this point.
Right. And so then I'm trying to find like all the other highlights. He belched really loud. He was like, yes, so if this goes anywhere, what do we like? What do we do about this? Do I just come to you? Do you come to me? And he's like, nah. And like, he just ask these questions and then just answer them without me saying anything. And then he was like, yeah, no, I can come out there, but I should warn you, I have a CPAP machine. And I was like, okay, you think I'm going to like invite you over for sex and like come stay here? Like A, in the middle of a pandemic, and B, like, this isn't going well. Like, you're just, not like, paying it off.
Status for some reason.
Oh my god. So then he like keeps drinking even more, whatever he was doing. I don't know. But then he was just like, I was like definitely recording it and sending them audio clips of it.
Great.
Of just like flurry. He kept referring to the Death Star as a dank ass Death Star. I was like, cool. So then he was talking about his dog and I was like, oh cool, kind of dog. And he was like, I'll send you a picture. I have your phone number. You're going to have to block me. And I was like, yeah, I'm aware. So he sends me a series of pictures. None of them are the dog. None of them are even him. Two of them are screenshots of a pirate ship from a video game that I don't know. We've never talked about, like, totally out of context. And I was like, what? These aren't your dog. And he's like, yeah, I know, but I keep finding these cool ass pictures while I'm trying to find the one of the dog. And I was like, we have very different opinions on what is cool. And then he, it just progressed like that to the point where I couldn't even tell you what we talked about, like, towards the end of the movie, because I could not understand what he was saying through his slurry speech. So then the movie ended and he said something along the lines of, you're beautiful, you're perfect, God bless. And then he just was gone. And then I could not make this shit up if I even tried. And then he proceeded to text me a couple minutes after that two screenshots of Red Hot Chili Peppers songs on Pandora. Like, and that not even from right then, like that he just had on his camera roll where he's like, this is fucking
killing himself. Like,
he was like, this is fucking great song. Let me save this picture for when I need to impress somebody. Like, no. And then just a picture of his, like, dirty tennis shoes on his desk at work.
Ew.
Then I was like, okay, whatever. At 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I had a text from him. Last night was fun. Hoping you're down for another movie night soon.
What'd you say?
Nothing. And then an hour and 40 minutes later, he said, happy Friday. Nothing. And then he said, end of the movie is kind of hazy. I didn't fuck you up, did I?
Oh, honey. Yeah, you did.
Not going to lie, it was really rough towards the end. And he goes, oh, not going to lie, skipping dinner was a bad idea. I was a little nervous. And I was like, yeah, that was not a good idea. And then he was like, okay, well, I'd like to watch another movie with you this weekend. But if you don't, I totally understand. I won't repeat my mistake. And I didn't respond back. So,
good call.
Not a love connection, I'm afraid.
He sounds like a pothead teenager, like very young.
Literally, what he sounded like. Oh, yeah. And he used the R word two times. Which after the first one, I was like, oh, no, 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 sweetie, we don't say that. And then he said it again, and I was like.
Oh, this is in your vocabulary.
Right. Like, oh, no, we don't say that. So, the wedding's in May.
But you didn't have a date, you baby fat.
Basically, I listened to him talk to a movie for 3 hours and he wouldn't shut up and he kept pausing the movie. Like, you don't have to pause the movie for us to talk because we're watching a movie we've both seen. And based on how you keep explaining to me what's going to happen next, which is like such an appealing quality in a movie watcher. I have a feeling you've watched it several times too. So like we're all on the same page. Oh, and for all the Star Wars fans out there, he referred to the Rebel Alliance as terrorists. And I was like, bro, you're on the wrong side here.
Did he live alone?
Oh, no, that's even better. He has like, at first he was like, yeah, my roommate. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Whatever. I have a roommate. Is like an older guy who used to work for NASA.
He's my dad.
Older guy who used to work for NASA that doesn't believe in climate change. And then he was like, yeah, so it's just him and me. And then, like our other roommate and he's black. And I was like, okay, well, I don't. Okay. And he was like, yeah. And then the other one, she's a Latino. And I was like, no, she's not a Latino. Or Latinx, but she's certainly not a Latino. And he was like, yeah, so it's just us. And then her mom. And I was like, I'm out of fingers. Like, how many people do you live with?
Oh, my my God.
It really intrigued the, like, wanting to use his parents' capital.
Yeah.
To buy a house.
Well, and how much you making at daddy's firm if you have 100 roommates?
No, I was just like, oh, cool.
God damn, man. Here's what we're going to do. We're picking your next date. Send us all the likes. We're gonna screen them. We'll bring them on the podcast. We'll see how they fare, and then we'll turn them over to you.
I literally was sending you guys the audio because I couldn't. I was like, no one's gonna believe me. No one's gonna believe me that all of this happened in 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Lexi, what are you obsessed with this week?
I really Top just that. Been obsessed with. I don't even know where this is. My girlfriend and I are moving to a different apartment here in the same complex. But we thought we were going to have like 3 weeks of overlap, and instead we have like 3 days.
Oh.
So now we're like scrambling, but that's what we're trying to do right now, is just get everything packed and moved over there. So.
Okay. Moving's the worst.
Yep.
Yeah. And I do it way too much. What is wrong with me? I move like every year.
Ugh, no, thank you.
That's stressful.
Yeah.
Although that is a good opportunity to like purge. Because I feel
like.
That's
the good thing about it.
Right. Like you don't have anything similar to really going through all your crap and getting rid of stuff as you do when you move.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. If I had to move every year, I'd have one box.
I am obsessed with two things this week. Number one, I'm really crushed by like the cancellation of Ellen. Not because I think she doesn't, if the accusations are true, of course they're horrific. Like, the whole idea that I'm disappointed that she's kind of fallen back on, it wasn't me, it was my senior staff. I didn't know what was going on, because at the end of the day, your name's on the show and you have to take some responsibility for the people that work for you.
They answer to you. Yep.
And it's just hard to watch someone who is so important. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing that I don't want to happen. Yes, how Ellen treated her staff was terrible, but she's also not Michael Jackson. So I don't want to see everything erased positive that Ellen did for the lesbian community just not matter, because either she's done this too long and got complacent, or she's always been mean. I don't know what it is, because none of us know her. But it's hard. God damn, it's hard to watch. It's fucking hard to watch. And I would never, I'm not saying she was like a hero of mine, but Ellen definitely is important to the lesbian community. So watching her be so systematically dismantled, and okay, Warner Brothers, if you replace her with a straight white dude, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. Okay. I can get on board with Kate McKinnon. I can get on board with Wanda Sykes. I can get on board with any woman. It doesn't even have to be a gay woman. Any woman. If you're not going to put a gay woman in there, it should be a woman of color. Like, do not replace her with a straight white dude. Fuck you. Don't do that. Do not do that. Not after what she created. So that's been really hard to watch. The second thing I am obsessed with is these fucking conspiracy theories going around Facebook. I cannot handle it anymore. And listeners, I get your questions. We get them. I'm not sure what else to say about them. Like, we have talked about it twice now, and I'm listening to a TED Talk next week about an expert in conspiracy theories and like why they happen and stuff. So maybe we'll touch on it next week and why they're so easily believable and how they're designed and everything. So maybe we'll have something to add from there. But again, I'm not saying that there aren't pedophiles in the world, and I'm not even saying that there aren't pedophiles in Hollywood. There probably is, because people are assholes. But one, the LGBTQ community is never going to accept them. Stop fucking spreading that rumor. Stop. Okay? I don't care if pedophilia is technically assigned like a sexual orientation. They will never be part of this community. I don't know a single person in the community who disagrees with that. They will never be part of it. So stop spreading that fucking lie. Especially, you're seeing people who
disorder, not a sexual identity. It's like necrophilia. It's not a, like...
Yeah.
Stop. Yep. And Clover gender is not a thing. Google it.
Just stop spreading that bullshit. Even if a person, even though doctors are saying, sure, pedophilia is something that people are born with, it doesn't mean that they're going to be socially accepted into any type of community, despite right. mental health. Okay? So right. stop doing the that. End. Yeah, the end.
The end.
Mm-hmm. And two... Tom Hanks and Oprah have not molested children. Like, neither has President Obama. If
no, and you can't order them on Wayfair yeah, either.
And if you're going if you're going to want me to believe that bullshit, you better come up with something better than some meme. Like, sorry, it's not going to happen. Like, I wouldn't even be... I got into this argument the other day with someone. Look, I believe you. Bill Clinton probably has done some super shady shit. I'm there with you. It's going to take a lot more to convince me of Barack Obama. Okay. It's going to take, right. It's going right. to take even more to convince me of Tom Hanks. And it's going to take a lot more to convince me of Oprah, who has been incredibly public about her own abuse. So
right.
just because you read something on the internet doesn't make it true. And these people, regardless if they're multimillionaires or whatever, they're still people. And talking about them, pedophilia is like one of the worst things that you could be accused of, period. Fucking period. So yeah. even if you think you're not doing any harm by sharing this, because when you talk to people, like, well, I don't know if it's true, but what if it is? What's it hurt getting out there? Because hundreds of thousands of you are sharing it and people don't do any research. Like, if you want to see the Jeff Epstein flight logs, you can go fucking look at them yourself. Stop believing the list that people compile for you, because half of them are bullshit. Like, these conspiracy theories are just really driving me crazy, because I refuse to see, when it comes to pedophilia, innocent people be taken down over it. That's fucking horrible. Okay. And you can look for reasons anywhere. They're like, well, Tom Hanks became a citizen of Greece. His wife's Greek. Do you know how long it takes to become a citizen? They didn't just snap their fingers because, oh, someone from QAnon finally figured us out. Like, no, that takes years of paperwork and applications. And like, that's not just something that you can do. Plus, they've owned a house there for years. Like, there's just all these things. I'm like, you did not discover something online that professionals have been tracking and watching and surveying for decades. Q fucking Anon can't tell you to squint your eyes and look at the sun and look at the symbol upside down, and all of a sudden it makes it true. Like, use your fucking brains. God, I get real worked up over that. I can't with this conspiracy theory bullshit. Everyone needs something better to do with their spare time. Like, I know it's quarantine. I know it sucks. Learn to play an instrument. Do anything else.
Do the puzzle.
Pick up your old recorder. Buns. Like, hot cross buns. Please.
Never not
going to
be funny.
It will never not be funny. But fuck, I mean, I get it. It's easy to get people to rally behind the idea of children being hurt. I get that. It's so easy to spin people up over it. If you're that concerned, go get involved with one of these organizations that have dedicated their entire existence to protecting children in these situations. Like, and I'll tell you what, Tom Hanks is not at the top of your... Now they're like, well, Mel Gibson doesn't seem so crazy. Yes, he does. Listen to what you just said. Yeah. He's still crazy. Oh, he Kanye...
Sugar tit.
Kanye West is like... speaking the truth. No, he's not. He's having a psychotic break. Listen to yourself. Well, oh, God. I could go on and on, but I won't.
Also, stop just believing everything you read. Oh, my God. Oh, that was the other thing this guy asked me last night. He said, do you read books? Do I read books? Which came across very, like, can you read a book? Like, it was just, I was like, yeah, I read books. And he was like, have you read Harry Potter? And I thought he was going to ask me about, like, did I like Harry Potter? I was like, yeah, I've read Harry Potter. And he goes, 7 books, all 7. You read them? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, was that too many? I was like, no, I think the story, I didn't realize what he was asking. I was like, no, I think the story was kind of done at that point. Like, I don't know that I would have kept writing more. Like, it was kind of, you know, whatever. He goes, no, was that too many books for you to read? I was like, what the fuck? What are we talking about? He just wanted to recommend some series that's like 14 books long. I just didn't want to scare my tiny lady brain. Like, a whole book? Like, from the beginning to the end? With all the words? No, no, man.
What was it Trump said in that interview about, like, I read books, I read all the books, I'm the best, like, I'm the most well-read person you've ever interviewed.
Can you rename your favorite book? No. Probably the Bible, The Art of the Deal. That's it.
Oh my god. Okay. You may have found someone worse than Trump. That, like, what percentage did you match with him?
Right.
Like 90.
Okay. He had to have been lying.
I don't know. Maybe he's fine sober. I swear weed was not the only thing. With how fast he was talking, there's no way weed was the only thing happening.
Listen,
I have way more questions when we stop recording about this dude. Like, I'm
here. Okay. help
Thanks
me.
For listening, everyone.
Yeah.
Happy
thanks.
Fucking shmush to Saturday, Friday, whatever day it is.
If you know any single guys that would be into me, send us a message. I read books. I read the best books.
I read more books. Than anybody you've ever interviewed before. All the books.
Your CPAP machine. Day and night.
Does anyone want to email in and explain, I don't know, the Hunger Games to Stacey? Anyone?
Yeah. Is it left to right or right to left that all the letters go?
Oh my god. All right. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Mom.